This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. About to start a vacation, so I'm happy about that.
Where are you going on vacation?
Nowhere.
Oh.
we're just staying here. My wife had some time that she had to use up because her stuff is about to roll over, and she had some extra. And so we're just going to, you know, do stuff around the house, some things around town that we've been meaning to do. We just hadn't had time to. So I'm excited.
You know, I guess that is one thing, like, post-pandemic, right? Or, you know, like, as the world is kind of opened back up, it's like, oh, you know what? My city. Maybe I should spend some time in my city. what's that all about? What's going on with that, you know?
I mean, there are some things. I've been living, you know, here for like almost 15 years, and there's some things that I still haven't done yet.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it's Austin too. So Austin has like tons of stuff, right?
Yeah, like the bats. I hadn't seen the bats yet.
Oh, you know, man, I hate to tell you. Remember that little freeze we had last year?
Oh no, are they all gone?
They're all gone, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. The whole like bat and thus mosquito population is all crazy right now in Texas.
Yikes. That's not true. The bats aren't.
No, it's 100% true. It's like 80% true. Look into it or don't, but I think it's right.
All the bats in Austin? I can't type fast on my phone.
Welcome Austin to dead. Bats TV Talk.
Basically, all I'm trying to say is that I don't want to fail this city.
Oh, there you go. That works. And we're back. Good job, Bell. Back on track. Well done. Yes, we've got an episode of The Flash to talk about. Before we do that, let's do a few things. First of all, I need to acknowledge the confusion from last week. I mentioned that that there was going to be a mini for last week, but then I totally missed the fact that we actually didn't have an episode last week. So that's on me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it happens.
Too kind. Okay, yes, it does. Thank you, Bell.
You know, I was thinking about ragging you on it, and then I was like, you know, this season and last season too, there have been so many breaks and stuff in between. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with it. So I'm gonna let you off easy this time. But next time, you better watch out.
I got it. No, I'll be on the lookout.
Because fool me once, shame on you.
Okay.
Fool me again, you're not gonna fool me again.
You can't fool the fool twice. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Bell. Well, we got an episode to talk about this week for sure, as we kind of race to the conclusion of this little arc that we've got going on. And yet at the same time, we also ramp it up at the same. It's a weird season. I think it's safe to say it's a weird season with how everything is structured. And as you say, it is kind of rough keeping up with when goes where and what is now and, you know, who's the fellow's name on first base. But regardless, we've got some good stuff. So that being said, let's dive into it. You ready, Bell?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 17 of Season 8, Keep It Dark. Directed by Daniel Panabaker, I know her, and story by...
Kristen Kim and Emily Polizzi.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, a new speedster stops a fire at Ivo Labs, but also steals a Newton battery. Fearing it could be Thawne, Barry checks on him in Lian Yu. Thawne is aware of Frost's death and deduces that the speedster started the fire by accident. Meanwhile, Lydia informs Allegra about hostility from their former gang, the Arañas, now led by Kimio Hoshi and Millie Rawlings. They attack CCC Media during an interview, so Chester activates a force field. Taylor then exposes Allegra as a former member of the gang to her employees, so Allegra reveals herself as the Lightbait Meta, assisting the Flash to regain their trust. Allegra holds Hoshi and Rawlings off while Lydia exposes the Arañas live, prompting them to flee. Taylor reconciles with Allegra, but also tells her that she can't hide from the world. Caitlin tells Team Flash that she needs to step back and figure things out. That night, Flash catches the speedster, returning the Newton battery. She is revealed as its inventor and the CEO of Fast Track Labs, Mina Dahuan. There's one more. Oh, come on. I'm going to do it again. She is revealed as its inventor and the CEO of Fast Track Labs, Mina Dahuan. Flash agrees to mentor her.
Well, I mean, that's kind of nice, actually.
That one's not very ominous there.
I don't know. Is it extremely deceiving? Kind of like, oh, happy ending, nothing to see here. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah, because did we even get a mention of Iris in this episode?
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Right? That's the real dun, 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 is that.
They seem to be dun, dun, dun with her for some strange reason. All right.
Well, they're also, speaking of which, dun, dun, dun with with Caitlin.
Caitlin also dun, dun, dun.
What's funny, though, is like, you know, until we got that little pre-recorded video from Caitlin at the end of the episode, I was like, okay, where is Caitlin? There's a big thing that happened, you know, last time Flash saw her, what's going on? And then I saw that this episode was directed by Danielle. And so, okay, that makes a lot more sense to me. Cause I'm sure directing in the thing you're acting in is not the easiest thing in the world to do. She's done it before, but it makes more sense as to why she wasn't, you know, featured as much in the episode. So less of a bad thing as much as, like, you know, Iris missing and stuff. So
no, I agree. I think it was funny because when she did say with that kind of goodbye, it felt, I mean, that's kind of the level of goodbye that we got from Ralph. You know, it was kind of a Ralph-esque goodbye, like, hey guys, don't worry about me. I'm gonna disappear for a while. You
probably not hear from me for a while. I gotta regrow my face, you know, whatever.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Like, there's a biker helmet thing on top of me. That's gotta, you know, there needs to be some sort of list of, like, how series it, like, handled the like abrupt departure of characters in universe. Like, and on that on whatever the worst list is of all time, Ralph in a bike helmet and a weird voice with a strange different cadence has to be, like, up there. It has to be one of, like, the highest, or rather the lowest departures of all time.
Yeah, they need to make a Funko Pop of quick departure Ralph.
Of Daft Punk Ralph. Yeah, that'd be great. okay, but no, I did actually think for a brief moment, like, oh, is this Caitlin Snow no longer in this episode? Like, is that what we're seeing here? And no, I don't think that's it at all. They did wrap up a lot of storylines they've been teasing at for some time pretty quickly in this episode, which is, I guess, fine. The season, like I said, it's a weird season. We got a lot of ground to cover in a very short amount of time to do it. And so that is on full display, to be sure, this week. That being said, yeah, Danielle was less in here. That's true. She was directing. What did you think? Let's just kind of address this first off. You know, we've seen her directing before. What did you think about this episode, man, from the directorial nature of it, given the fact that it is being directed by one of the main characters, or rather main actors for the show?
I don't know. I thought it was all right. I don't really know her style yet. I don't think she's directed enough. And plus, you know, this is a Flash show, so they want to try to keep the directorial style somewhat similar, you know,
across the board.
But yeah, you know, it was, I was wondering what was going to happen with, oh gosh, what's what's Allegra's employee who's like really mean?
Oh, you know what? Okay, let's talk about these employees really quick, because I mean, like, I not to cut you off here, but since the fact that you can't remember their names, it's kind of a it speaks to kind of a thought I had about them. They remind me a lot of the supporting kind of Daily Planet cast from, I want to say it was All-Star Superman. Did you ever read that?
Yeah, I liked All-Star Superman.
You know, it's a great graphic novel, but if I believe that's where they kind of introduce like these like three or four reporters who are all condensed down to like one feature, and that's their entire character. And that's kind of what I got about these guys. Like, hey, here's the mom. She's a mom and she's got kids. Hey, here's the war vet. He's a war vet and he knows about war vet stuff. You know,
No. His one thing that he has was saying, I agree, after any time anyone said anything.
You know, he's always like, we're in combat. I concur. You know, like that's
Yeah. But like, you know, when somebody was saying like, one of them said, you know, we have to do this. And he's like, I agree. And then somebody said, we can't trust you. And he's like, I agree. We can't trust you. And so he was there to like back up anybody who was, you know, saying something against, you know, that's what I noticed. He had the war vet stuff. It's like, oh, he, you know, she's injured. We're at war. We have to know where the enemy is and stuff. And then, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, but then, okay, so then we got Mean Girls, okay? I'll just go ahead and call her Mean Girls. That's the one that's been, like, tracking down, trying to basically out Allegra for some time. And we kind of got a quick wrap-up of that character arc. But anyway, it's good that we got War Vet Guy, we've got Mom, and we've got Mean Girls here as the staff of the Daily Planet. So that now being established so that we don't have to remember these people's names. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Daniel's directorial return here?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a pretty interesting episode. It was really neat to see some of like, you know, Allegra's powers, and like you can kind of see the thresholds that she's working with, which makes her interesting, right? And so like that's one thing that's really cool about characters. And I think it's something that maybe they've been struggling with the Flash himself, is that he's so powered up. It's like it's hard to put him in a situation where he's challenged. And this was a challenge for Allegra, right? Like she's on two different fronts. For, you know, one side, she's got her employees that she's trying to protect. She's got Lydia, who she's trying to protect and expose this gang. And then at the same token, she is a meta who is up against metas that kind of outclass her, at least, you know, right now.
Especially and so, in the numbers, for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, Millie was saying, what's her code name?
Dr. Light?
No, that was Kimio.
Ultraviolet?
No, Ultraviolet was her cousin, Allegra's cousin.
That was Espinaz. Yeah, but I thought she was the new Ultraviolet is what they were saying. Maybe I misheard that.
I thought she was Sunshine.
Oh, Sunkiss? That's a drink.
No.
Sunny D.
We'll call her Sunny D. Okay, so Sunny D. You know, she after Allegra like absorbed the light bolt from Dr. Light, and she powered up, right? Like she's done before. It was cool to see that again, right? We finally got to see that again. And then, you know, Sunny D was like, well, you can't maintain that for a while. And so that's cool. Like there's a limit there. So we know that anytime that Allegra is going to be fighting metas, you know, there's limits to her power. So it makes it more tense, right? It makes it more unexpected as to what might happen. So that was pretty cool, like seeing that. I thought the scene with Barry and Mina was pretty cool as well, like him just sort of outclassing her in that same kind of way. So there's, you know, a unique little parallel there with that. But overall, I think it was good to kind of finally see this Mean Girl Allegra relationship kind of fixed. Because
okay, so yeah okay, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know, you know, it was, you know, I completely understand where Mean Girl's coming from. I would, you know, feel kind of bad if I was put in the same position where, you know, you have this girl with no journalistic sort of
experience,
yeah, in your mind, I guess. Maybe, and she did, you know, write stuff for the paper, but then she's coming in and now she's the assistant editor in chief she's the acting editor in chief while Iris is gone. Like, you know, I can see there being some animosity there, but I don't know, it's kind of weird for her wanting to, like, you know, out superheroes and stuff. It's like, why are you trying to do that? Like, you're gonna put them in danger and their family in danger and stuff like that. So it's kind of good now that we don't have to deal with that anymore, I hope.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. I agree. I realize too, by the way, this is not everybody's favorite plot line. Okay. Like that's clear. I mean, with everything else we've got going on, the future of Allegra's career at the Daily Planet has not exactly been like a fan favorite. That said, I've enjoyed the story very much. And I do actually really, appreciate that kind of like, the coworker issues and like, the dealing with subordinates at work and everything. I thought that worked out pretty well. I guess here's my thing. I think this was a fine resolution for Allegra personally. I don't know if it feels right for the story as a whole. Like, I think this is really good character growth for her, realizing she needs to step out in the light. Hopefully this is an implication that we're going to get some sort of superhero name for her by the end of this season. That seemed to be what was kind of implied by the tail end of it. But Mean Girls was like, didn't we see a confrontation between them in the future that I guess we're not going to see now?
Well, that's what Dion was saying, right? Dion was like, this is it's not set, right? It's not set in stone.
Always in motion, the future is.
So that was something that could have happened, but it didn't because Allegra resolved it.
Okay. I don't know. It just seemed so like teased out, like there was going to be some sort of expose going on that I thought would also kind of encompass a seal as well. But no, this is cool. We did get an explanation, by the way, for, how she's been keeping her secret identity secret. Like, we as an audience are seeing her normally, but the way in universe she is seen is as somebody with a giant glowing white face.
Totally respected that. Like, I'm glad that they finally addressed that. Because yeah, it was, it should have been done sooner, but I'm glad they finally addressed that.
Well, I wonder, okay, now this, it would be, I feel like it'd be a little bit of a retcon if they went with this, but I wonder if that's also the case for Barry. You know, early on in the series in season one, he would actually blur his face even with the costume to kind of help additionally hide who he was. And so, given the fact that he does work a lot with the CCPD, I wonder if in universe they're seeing a blurred face, whereas we as kind of the audience get the full, Grant Gustin moneymaker.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably coming down to budget. They don't want to do the effect all the time. But I think, my headcanon is that he's doing that, right? That's how I headcanon it, is that he's actually blurring his face for most everyone. But although I don't know, he kind of tells who he is. To like everyone now.
Yeah. This is true. He also is offering mentorship to everybody now. I don't want to complain about this because I felt like we got way too many mentorship storylines in the past that we didn't necessarily need. But for hearing a lot about him mentoring people, we're not actually seeing it all that much.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that's just scheduling, right? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna mentor you. But she's like, okay, what about Tuesday? He's like, Tuesday doesn't work. I have, Kramer's on. Oh, no, not Kramer. I have another appointment. Sorry. I don't want to just blurt out that everybody's a metahuman that I'm training, right?
Right, exactly.
So, it's just scheduling conflicts. We'll see those eventually.
It kind of seems Google Cal is like, all right, and that's exactly how they would do it. It would be like on the back screen somewhere where it would have like, okay, Kramer training Tuesday, Thursday, new speedster training Fridays. And, that is exactly what's going to happen, Bell. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool. I liked this. I liked the fact that we got Allegra going up against her old gang. I liked the resolution and kind of the conclusion that came there with, while also leaving them out in the background to bring in. It's always nice when some of these side characters have their own that's the one. But yeah, so it's always nice when they've got that. I like that she took a leadership role here, although, okay, I am gonna have to push back on Chester here. Janeway, really? I did not personally find her leadership style Janeway. I think that was just a shameless, like, hey, what's a nerdy, lady boss captain person that we can kind of pull from? Janeway, the first, Star Trek captain. Listen, Janeway's fantastic. I love Janeway, but that is not Janeway's leadership style. To say that was Janeway's leadership style is completely a disrespect to Janeway's leadership style and just showing that you don't know the character.
Janeway's leadership style is to, go off and extend their journey home by 7 more years and just breaking the Prime Directive everywhere they go.
Exactly. That is exactly her style. Her style would be a very bold move that would have put everybody at risk simultaneously without checking first.
She'd have been like, all right, Lydia, you go outside. We're going to put the force field down. You go outside. And as soon as we see them, we're going to ambush them.
Exactly.
You may die, but you know, there's more of us than them. We'll take care of them.
No. That would not have been hers. I actually would say it'd be like this. She'd be like, all right, no, Lydia wants to die. No, she's not going to die. Oh, you think she should die? She'll be like, no, we're all going to die. That would have been Janeway's mindset. So don't tell me that was Janeway's leadership style. Again, I love Janeway. Voyager was my favorite Star Trek. I thought Janeway was a fantastic captain. She made some decisions. That's fine. No captain is perfect, and you don't have to agree with all the decisions. But she always was consistent, and that is not what we got from Allegra. Anyway. Okay.
So yeah, she was more of a Picard, right? Because she was refusing to relent. She was like, the line must be drawn here, no further.
Right. Well, I mean, I got more of like a Steve Rogers, honestly, with like, a, you know, or we don't trade lives, Captain. You know, like, yeah. I thought that seemed to be where we were going with it. But anyway, so don't evoke Janeway's name. Put some respect on Janeway's name, okay? If you're going to make a reference, make it right.
Keep Janeway's name out your poop mouth.
Don't keep it out your mouth. No. You can say Janeway, but say it right. You know, put some respect on it. That's all I'm saying. All right. End of rant. any other thoughts on the B team becoming the A team for an episode?
It was also kind of weird how they kind of shoehorn Chester in there. Like, oh yeah, don't Chester works for CCC Media. He was here, you know. Why not just be like, we brought him, because like they know they're doing the interview, and so it's like we brought him in here to do exactly what he was doing, to like do the AI, the, you know, deep fake stuff or whatever on Lydia, so that they can't tell who she is. You know, he's a tech guy from Star Labs. You know, he's like,
I think that's it right there, the tech guy from Star Labs, because the reality is that, like, you know, the owner of CCC. The owner of 3C Media is married to the owner of Star Labs, and he works for Star Labs. It's not, you know, you don't have to go too far to
kind of like hide, you know, where he works and who he is. I don't
exactly. Yeah. Also, he's out there streaming on Twitch
from Star Labs, which he said, yeah. So, although I don't think you know, Army Vet Mom or Mean Girls is one to like watch a lot of Twitch streams, but you know,
yeah, that's true. Well, maybe Mom's kids are watching Chester.
Oh, maybe Mom's kid was the one who blew up the homeless shelter.
Bell, let's talk about that, because that was with trying to create a battery. We had a battery come back into play this week. With Barry's storyline. So Barry was going off. He's investigating this new speedster. You know, whenever there's a new speedster in town, he's like, oh, you know, let's check on the one we got in the basement, except the basement is no longer the basement. The basement is now the island. This was the Purgatory Island, in which Oliver Queen became Arrow. And so I feel like we knew in other shows that this was now like an Argus prison, but is this the first time we're seeing this on The Flash?
I don't think so.
Really? Have we seen this before?
I thought so.
Oh, maybe we saw it at the end of Armageddon. So
Armageddon.
maybe we did see it there. I can't quite recall. But yeah, so we get a little bit of I thought they were gonna go like hello Chris, you know, with this whole situation. But this was not exactly what we got here. We can see that Thawne is starting to lose it.
Yeah.
He's got some issues, you know?
Anger issues. He's very loud and very, very angry.
Well, I mean, like, you know, he's starving, you know, and not just like in a food kind of way. He's starving for power, you know, having all that power, having kind of the godlike speed ability taken from him, you know, being kind of cast down to mere mortal status is a heavy blow. I thought that something that kind of was revealed in this and I found it kind of interesting is that he doesn't think as fast as he used to, which makes sense, but you never really think about like the implication there, you know?
Yeah. Which, I mean, might be a little bit better if you're in prison, because, you know, when you think really fast like that, you know, a minute turns into an hour. And so might be a little bit of a gift for him.
It could be a grace there. I guess there could be a point to that. But you're talking about experiencing time. This is more of like literally, I guess it just, you know, it's almost like a lobotomy to some extent, maybe? Like to have it, like to remove a speedster speed?
Yeah.
Like it's where you like slice the brain, right?
Yeah. It's a medical procedure for the brain. Yeah. And you know, clearly it's affected his mental state. So, you know, usually lobotomies are used to like make bad mental states better, but they don't do those anymore, I don't think. I think that's like a reliquated.
Well, so this kind of gets to my point, though. I mean, like, it seems as though as we kind of explore further just what has been done to Thawne, you know, there was a morally gray nature to it to begin with. And the more we see him and the more we see his or at least are offered his perspective on everything, the more morally dark one could make the argument for that decision was.
What, to remove his speed?
Yeah.
Well, man, you know, I was reading a Twitter thread the other day that was kind of talking about this, and like the lengths that they will go to prevent superheroes from killing kind of results in them doing some really horrific stuff. Mm. And one example was of the Flash from the comics, and I forget which villain it was, but he stole this villain's speed, and now he is like eternally a statue in the Flash Museum.
Wow. Oh, that's like that's like Black Mirror right there.
Yeah, like that's a nightmare world for anybody, not just a speedster. And like the Flash did that to him. It's like you would have been far better off killing him. That would have been way more merciful than what you did to him. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. And if you guys can remember who it was tweeted at me which villain it was that he did that to, but he basically stole the dude's speed, and like one of the lines was like, you know, every blink takes a day or something like that. And he's just like, you can look at his face and he's in horrible distress as just this statue of a villain that Flash faced in the Flash Museum. Like that's a nightmare scenario.
It really is.
Yeah, I would have been better off with the Flash killing that guy.
I'm sure he would have too.
Yeah,
man. Okay, yeah. There you go. But yeah, so interesting thing. You know, we get more of an exploration too as Eobard kind of breaks down like why there will never be a villain like him, because he is like this pure hate incarnate. No one will ever hate Barry as he hates Barry. And you know, he's not all talk. He makes a compelling reason for it, right? Like yep. He gave up years of his life, like right there training him, you know what I mean? Like being right next to him, being stuck in the past, like, you know, pretending to be his friend and everything else, and being this mentor and psychologically tormenting him and everything else. No one's going to take that kind of care, because let's be honest, we don't have that many seasons left in this show. So like, yeah, there's never going to be somebody who's going to put that kind of work in to really become hate manifest for Barry in the same way that Eobard has. And so, you know, we do see a little bit of perhaps jealousy by the nature of there being another villain. I know that Barry tries to play on that. I don't know that he was as successful as maybe he was hoping to be with that. As he points out, he didn't really get any information, just kind of some enlightenment a little bit, or like, you know, something to kind of chew on with this new speedster. And I wonder if we'll be seeing him go back to Thawne over the next couple of episodes as he's trying to figure out how to mentor this new speedster, especially since once again, we're not dealing with, you know, what they called a natural speedster. We're dealing with an artificial one. And Bell, that's going to bring us into this week's speedster speculation. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow.
Hold on. I'm on my red and yellow. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man, Speedster Speculation. So we have gotten introduced today, or rather this week, to a brand new speedster. Mina DeJuan.
Yeah.
So Mina DeJuan, in the comics, a Star Lab scientist who was struck during the Speed Force storm in Central City, giving her super speed as the superhero Fast Track. She worked with the Flash to train a new generation of speedsters to use their powers at Star Labs. Now, obviously, things are a little bit different here. The Speed Force storm was several seasons back, and we never got any new speedsters out of that. Also, the way in which she is going about her speed has to do in some form of artificialness. Now, one assumes it's not a velocity 9, 10, or any other number based on the fact that she's not, you know, busting out blue lightning. Now, in the early seasons of The Flash and of the Flash TV Talk podcast, you heard us here speculate heavily on the meaning of lightning colors and what that could mean. At times, it seems like that, you know, was something that they were really using. And at other times, maybe not so much. There are some who have watched the series and really leaned into the comic book explanation that different colors of lightnings has to do with how fast someone is. It has been clear, at the very least over the series, that that is not the case. At least it has not historically been the case. The lightning color means nothing in relation to, you know, how fast someone can go. We don't see Barry, you know, changing lightning. He will always have yellow lightning for the most part, unless there is some other reason why he would not. And generally that reason has to do with the connection of the Speed Force. Just to kind of bring it on a little bit further back, our exact speculation was that yellow lightning means, you know, a true natural connection to the Speed Force. Red clearly means connection to the negative Speed Force. Purple is some sort of familiar connection to the Speed Force. As we see this through Iris, we also see it through Nora when she shows up on the scene. And then white was always kind of a mystery. We never really fully knew what that could mean. And as we've seen them, let's say, fumble the ball with Godspeed, it's clear that they never really had whatever they were at one point considering, they ended up going in a different route. And honestly, by that point, it seemed like they weren't really playing around with the lightning colors anymore. All right, that brings us to today. Oh, no, how dare I? Of course, the big kicker that kind of communicated that lightning colors might not mean anything or might not mean what they used to mean is when the forces were introduced and all of those colors or all of those forces had different lightnings of different colors themselves. And they were all given very, very different meanings compared to what came before. So all that to say that today we now have a new speedster with a new, not just color of lightning, but kind of lightning. Belle, did you notice this?
What do you mean? Like it reminded me of the Darksaber.
But it reminded me of the Darksaber. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Belle.
Yeah. Like, because it was that like black inside with white around it.
Mm.
But what do you mean by like different kind? Is that what you're talking about?
No, exactly that. Exactly that.
Okay.
So lightning, I mean, like, you know, I think the Darksaber is a fantastic thing to compare it against, because with the Darksaber, with the lightsaber, you had kind of the light illuminating from a lightsaber or kind of the kyber crystal within. With the Darksaber, it's almost as if light is being drawn into the saber to some extent. And I got to wonder if there is a very similar thing going on here. This is clearly not a connection to the negative Speed Force, because otherwise it would be red. But there is some form of way in which they're harnessing speed that does appear to be in a reverse fashion to how Barry connects with the Speed Force, right?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, because what you're saying with the lightsaber, it's like the light radiates from the center out, whereas this is like the light is along the boundary of the lightning, and everything inside that boundary is black, and absent of light. So kind of like, you know, I guess the event horizon, you know, the matter outside of the event horizon that's really, really bright, and then you have the everything beyond the event horizon's black, and so it's almost like a black hole. sort of thing.
Ooh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So I'm wondering, Bell, are we seeing, in the same way that we saw Barry mess so much around with the concept of a, you know, artificial speed force, are we seeing Fast Track here essentially creating an artificial negative speed force?
See, I don't know. I mean, like, I wasn't too familiar with her in the comics, but like reading up about who she was, there's some interesting things around there, right? It's apparently, you know, she stole, or not stole, but she like absorbed negative speed force from Barry at some point. And that made her the negative Flash, not the reverse Flash, the negative Flash.
The negative Flash. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And she mentions in the episode that she has a, did she say benefactor, I think?
I mean, she's the CEO of Fast Track Labs. I don't know why she would need a benefactor.
Well, I think it's the idea is that whatever this speed project she's working on, she's not working on it alone. And there appears to be somebody else that is working on it with her. And I've got myself a healthy slice of speculation for this one, man.
Let me guess, Zeobard.
Well, yes, but hear me out. Okay. So, but think about it. In this episode, when Barry was talking to Eobard, you know, Eobard's like, I don't even have my speed Flash. And then Barry's like, yeah, but you time travel like a lot. So like you've been around different points of the timeline. Do you remember this, that, or the other? Which makes me think, interesting that they would point out that Eobard has popped around the top timeline. Is it possible that whoever is, I suppose, teaching her or guiding her is in fact an earlier version of Eobard, somebody from earlier in the timeline?
Interesting.
It's happened before.
It has.
I'm wondering if we might even be seeing specifically an earlier version of Eobard, Eoblond, I think. Well, Eoblond, I think at this point, or is it spoilers to say we're pretty sure he's coming back for an episode?
Well, I mean, we already talked about the set photos.
All right, we talked about the set photos. That's right. So we do know that Eoblond, the actor portraying Eoblond, will be coming back for an episode at least. So I'm wondering if what we could be seeing here, Bell, is Eobard from earlier in the timeline arriving in the present, possibly accidentally. We've seen him do that before as well.
Yeah.
Arriving in the present, finding his future self in peril and helping out his future self by essentially creating this negative, you know, this, artificial negative speed force that Eobard, H. Eobard would use then to free himself and become the new, would you say, negative Flash?
Yes.
The new negative Flash. Or reverse Flash with different powers.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Well,
that's that's my theory. Yeah.
I think that makes sense. You know, based on what we're seeing here, I'm willing to bet this can be like a flashback episode where we see Eoblond, you know, working on this project with her. That's going to be like, you know, the clips in the past of them doing it, and then we'll cut to the future. She doesn't, my assumption is that she doesn't know that, what it's for, or, you know, who it's ultimately going to benefit. And that, you know, she is, more of a, not necessarily like innocent bystander, but like she's more oblivious to what the end goal is, because obviously why would Eobard tell her?
We've seen him do this before, although we've seen specifically, I guess, you know, him in the future doing this with Nora. Man, the Eobard timeline. Once the series is over, we need to like do a big Flash TV Talk finale.
A 700 part finale where we go through every branch in the timeline.
No, I think there needs to be like the personal, like what is the watch through of this series specifically on Eobard's personal timeline?
That would be crazy.
That'd be pretty awesome. I would do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. But yeah, so anyway, regardless, that's what appears to be going on. That's my theory. What's your theory? What do you think?
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, based on the set photos that we've seen, the thing that I feel though is that Mina is not going to end up being a bad guy.
She's not bad guy. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, she's not going to end up being, you know, evil or whatever. I feel like she's being taken advantage of by Ia Blonde in 2022 because future Eobard is in peril, like you were saying, right? But I feel like either in the end, she's going to have the connection that she has with this, you know, fake speed force, artificial reverse negative speed force thing severed, and Eobard's going to steal her speed to become this negative Flash in the black suit that we've seen.
Interesting. I think we got it. I mean, I really do, man. I think we got it on this one.
Yeah, I think so. That's the thing though. It's like, you know, this isn't going to be the last season, and like I'd still picture that the last season has to be an epic showdown between Barry and Eobard, like the end of it all, right? Like, because how do you start the show with Eobard, you end the show with Eobard, right? And so that's my only concern is that like they're gonna have to come up with some other way to bring him back for the final season, but I don't know.
I mean, yeah, no, I think that's fair. That's fair. That's a good concern, I suppose. But at the same time, I like giving people what they want. You know what I mean? Like even if you do potentially risk, you know, not being able to do what you want to do for the last season by doing it too early, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving people what they want. You know?
Yeah, and you know,
we want a Eobard. We always want a Eobard. We never not want a Eobard. We want a Tom Cavanaugh Eobard, man.
That's true. That's the thing too. Is like, would he be willing to come back for a season?
Of course. Yeah. Why not? What's Tom doing? What's he doing?
I mean, he's probably living the good life, man.
He's probably living that good life. We could live the good life on The Flash.
That's true.
All right.
The speed life.
Final thoughts on this episode?
Yeah. You know, overall, I think I enjoyed it. It's kind of weird that Danielle Panabaker directed an episode where her character is essentially written off for a while.
She just zooms in to say, I'm not showing up for the Zoom meetings anymore.
So, and that, you know, kind of killed all of our speculation about us actually getting a real Killer Frost, unless that actually does happen.
I mean, I think she'll be back. I think that's more of like a, yeah, don't worry about it, guys. Like, they even did a flashback specifically to Barry, you know, going full kaboom boom on her laboratory. That's not done.
Yeah.
Killer Frost also still on the show. I promise you.
I wonder, wasn't she? That's what it is.
What is it, Belle?
Danielle Panabaker is pregnant again.
Oh, is she really?
I thought so. Yeah. So this was January 19th, 2022.
Frost Jr.
Yeah.
Is it Chilblains? Dun, dun, dun. Frost baby. Yeah.
So, okay. That's gotta be what it is. So yeah, they're giving her some time off to, you know, have her kid and spend some time with her kid and stuff. That makes sense. So, it's gotta be temporary.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. No, that would make some sense. We'll see. Killer Frost, or rather, Caitlin Snow, still in the show. Man, I think overall, I think this, it was a good, solid B team becoming an A team story. Generally, or rather historically, those have not been my favorite. It seems like the B team kind of gets some lame stories here and there. And Allegra in particular, one of the things I've always said about this character, she's a good character. She just needs something good to do. And honestly, I've really enjoyed her story. I've enjoyed her little plot line on the side with the, army guy, mom, and mean girls. Like, you know, it works. It's fine for what it is. And I've really enjoyed her getting kind of, you know, some villains, like specifically to have her own kind of personal rogues gallery. We just need a name for her. She needs to be a little bit more of a full-fledged superhero with a costume and a name and all that kind of good stuff. And hopefully we'll get that here by the end of the season. I think that would be a great kind of conclusion, kind of wrap up to the arc that she's been on this season to really, you know, step into the light, as it were. That's my thoughts for this episode. That's Belle's thoughts for this episode. That's going to do it for us for this week. If you want to send in your thoughts, head over to TVTalk.com. flashtv.fm for all of our great contact information, including our email and our Twitter and all the whatnots and goodnots and what the things on the webs and the whatnots and whatnots. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. You can follow us on Twitter at TV Talk FM, but that's going to do it for us for this week. Don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.